Let us pray. Our dear God, thank you for this privilege that you are giving us to study and to feast on your word today. Thank you for the freedom that we have. And thank you, Lord, that by your grace, you will illumine our hearts and our minds today. So it is our prayer, Lord, Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. Whatever message that you have in store for us today, make your message clear to all of us. Open our understanding, illumine our hearts, and help us obey you, and help us desire to glorify you in our lives, not only today, but every day of our lives. I pray for myself, Lord. I pray that you will go beyond the limitations of your servant. I pray for your anointing to be upon me. Use me as your mouthpiece. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to handle your precious word before my brethren. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good morning again to everybody. It's a privilege to stand before you today to preach the word of the Lord. And there were a few adjustments regarding the topic that I'll be preaching. So when I was absent during the elders' meeting, I did not know that I was assigned for this Sunday. So the following Thursday when I attended the elders' meeting, it was announced, it will be you who will be preaching on the 24th. So at the back of my mind, I was already saying, okay, I have prepared something already just in case there will be an invitation to preach the word. But then pastor told me, but bro, that's already the Holy Week. Make sure the message is a Holy Week message. Oops. So I had to pray again, Lord, help me prepare a message for the 24th. And the Lord led me to this passage. And the passage that we will study this morning is very familiar to all of us. But before doing that, let me just give this very short introduction. And it's a story about a very new boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And disclaimer, I am not the one in the story that I'm about to share. But this is about a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship that is just starting. And because of some situations, both are not yet ready to reveal that they are going together already. But of course, people were observing them, and their closeness is very obvious. So one time, the parents of the lady asked them, "Are you getting together with each other? Are you on?" In other words, kayo ba mag-boyfriend o mag-girlfriend na? But because of fear, the boyfriend readily answered, "No, we are not together." So maybe some of you can relate to this story. Again, disclaimer, I'm not the one in the story. I'm just making that clear. And because of that situation, the lady did not forget that. And as their relationship became longer, and eventually they became legal to their parents, whenever people will ask how their relationship start, part of the story is the lady will always say, "Did you know what? During the start of our relationship, my boyfriend denied me before my parents." And because of that, their friends also did not forget what that boyfriend did. Even though that boyfriend made his effort to make up with that mistake and to make the relationship stronger. And today, we will be going back to a story, a narrative in the Bible, in the New Testament, about someone who denied Christ. And I'm sure upon saying someone who denied Christ, you already know who I am talking about. And he is Peter, right? Peter. Who can forget Peter denying Christ 3 times? Because of fear, he denied Christ 3 times. But who among us who remembered right away that it was Peter who denied Christ remembered also that the first section of Acts, it was Peter who preached a powerful message that approximately 3,000 were saved. And who among us also remembered, while I was asking that question earlier, that it was also Peter who wrote a passage that teaches that trials is used to prove our faith. Okay, so like in the story of the boyfriend and girlfriend, the boyfriend had this saying in his life, why is it that when I do something wrong, everybody remembers, but when I do something right, nobody remembers? Familiar, right? Familiar. But for today, we will be reviewing the narrative when Peter denied Christ. And let me entitle this preaching today as Peter's Denial, a Showcase of Self-Confidence. So the title itself will already tell us what we will be discussing this morning. Denying Christ is a showcase of self-confidence. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, and we will be reading verses 69 to 74. Though the denial of Peter can also be seen in the Gospel of Mark, in the Gospel of Luke, and also in the Gospel of John. But we will be using the Gospel of Mark as our reference for this morning. So Matthew 26, 69 to 74. I'm reading from the ESV. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Okay, so that's a very familiar story. So before we dive deeper into that passage, let me first give the chronological events throughout that section of the passage. So first, before Peter denied Christ, they had the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper happened in the upper room. So all the disciples were there. Of course, Jesus was there. So they ended the supper. And as they ended the supper, they closed it with a hymn. They closed it with a hymn. Then after that hymn, the Lord Jesus now invited them to proceed to Mount Olives. So they went to Mount Olives, or to the Garden of Gethsemane, to be more specific. And we will see this section in Mark 14, 27 to 42, Matthew 26, 31 to 46, or in Luke 22, 39 to 46. So, after reaching Mount Olives, actually, there are two important events that happen. Between the event in the upper room, which is the Lord's Supper, and when the Lord Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Two things happen. One, Jesus foretells the denial of Peter. So Jesus foretells the denial of Peter, which we can see in Matthew 26, 30 to 35. Also, in the same event, we will see there the time that Jesus prayed to the Father. And the prayer that he uttered there is very familiar to us. And his prayer was, "My Father, if it is possible, remove this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done." Because this evening is the evening before the crucifixion. So the Last Supper was the evening before the crucifixion. So when they were now in Mount Olives, after Jesus prayed, what happened next? Jesus was now betrayed, and he was now arrested. We can see this in Matthew 26, 47 to 56, or in Mark 14, 43 to 50, or in Luke 22, 47 to 53. So after the Lord's Supper, after the Last Supper, Judas did not join them already because he had already plans of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested by the crowd and soldiers from the chief priests, scribes, and elders. And after his arrest, he was brought to the house of the high priest. And in the house of the high priest, there are two parallel events that we will study this morning. And the two parallel events are, Jesus went under trial, but this was a fourth trial for Jesus since this was still done during the early morning. And during the time, doing trial during the night or early morning is not allowed. But the scribes, the priests, the elders were really so eager to find guilt in Jesus Christ. That's why they made this fourth trial so that when day breaks, they will already know what to present to the public. And while Jesus was on trial, this was also the time that Peter denies Christ. So those two events are parallel. That's why if you will read the narrative, parang nasa pelikula tayo, biglang magpapalit ng scene, and this happened, then babalik uli dun sa kabilang scene, and babalik uli dun sa kabilang scene. So those two events are simultaneous events. And of course, if you want to check the passage for the time when Jesus was under trial, in Matthew 26, 57 to 68, you will find this. On the other hand, if you want to find where Peter denied Christ, we will find them in the passage that we have read earlier and the passages that I have mentioned also earlier. Okay? So that was the summary of the things happening during that night. So after the supper, the Lord Jesus invited them to go to Mount Olives. Jesus foretells the denial of Peter. Jesus prayed to the Father. Then after that, Jesus was arrested. Then he was brought to the house of the priests. And then from there, he was given a fore trial. And while the trial was going on, Peter denied him. And before Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, let us look at how the Lord Jesus gave warnings to Peter. So Peter did not just deny Christ during that night without hearing any warning. In fact, warnings from the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was the Lord Jesus Christ who gave the warning. And imagine, the Lord whom you are serving is the one giving the warning. The one you saw performing many miracles. The one you saw preaching his truth in a very powerful way, giving the warning to you. And the first warning that the Lord Jesus gave to Peter can be seen in Luke 22:31-32. Though we have read the account in the Gospel of Matthew, we will not find this statement in that passage. So we will now be looking at the parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke. And in that verse, in those verses, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Again, remember that it was the Lord Jesus Christ giving these warnings, which means the warnings must be very, very important and very, very credible. Because if the warning was just coming from another disciple, most likely Peter could have easily ignored the warning. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ giving the warning or warnings to Peter. And yet, we know the story. I'm going ahead of myself. And we know he ignored all these warnings. And even as we look at this passage, the Lord Jesus called Peter, "Simon, Simon." He called him by the other name of Peter, and he repeated it. And during the time when your name is called twice or more than once, it means what is to be given to you, whether as a reminder or as an instruction, is very, very important. Therefore, from that part alone, "Simon, Simon," that was already a signal for Peter to listen attentively to what was about to be mentioned to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Simon, to Peter? "Behold, Satan demanded to have you." Like what happened to Job, Satan asked permission from the Lord to have Peter to test him. Like Job. And in that line, it was like a reminder to Peter. Remember Job, that he was also tested by Satan, but that testing was given permission by the Father. And the same thing is about to happen to him. Satan demanded that he be tested. And look at the second part. "That he might sift you like wheat. So that word "sift" means to prove by trial. So the Lord Jesus was already telling Peter very clearly, you will be tested. You will go through trial. And this was through my permission. Satan asked you to be sifted like wheat. And if we will continue that verse, that passage, verse 32, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." And look at that assurance. Verse 31, "Surely, Peter, you will be tested. You will go through trial. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." So Jesus was saying to Peter here, "You will be tested. You will fail. But in this testing, you and others will see that though you may fail in the testing, saving faith cannot be lost. Saving faith cannot be lost." And why is that so? The last part tells us the reason. Because the Lord intercedes for us. So let's not forget that this narrative was given to us because this is not only applied for Peter. This is also applied for us. If Peter had denied Christ, surely we have denied Christ in the past, and we can still deny Christ in the future. So this is also a warning for us. But the passage that we have read also tells us the assurance that God is in control of everything. He has decreed everything. Even these testings, even these trials, He has designed it for us. Why? So that He can show that saving faith cannot be lost. So that's the first warning for Peter. What's the second warning? The second warning can be seen in Matthew 26, verse 31. And if we will go back to that passage, Matthew 26, 31. So in verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" So the Lord Jesus now warns not only Peter, but warns all the disciples. "You will all fall away because of me this night." If only Peter had given his full attention to the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could have seen the danger coming very soon. And look at how the Lord Jesus Christ warned them. "You will all fall away. You will all fall away." The Lord Jesus did not say to them, "Tonight, you might fall away. Some of you might fall away." But no, the Lord was so certain with His statement, "All of you tonight will fall away." And just imagine the time that the Lord Jesus said that to them. It was already evening. It was after the supper, the last supper. And if you will hear that warning, and if you will really listen to that warning very attentively, there must be fear already in your hearts. Why? Because the proximity of the falling away is very, very soon. It's just a few hours or a few minutes from now. "You will all fall away." And there was no exemption. "All of you will fall away." That was the Lord Jesus Christ talking to them. And the Lord even gave the reason why they will all fall away. What's the reason? The verse tells us. It's because of me. It is because of me that all of you will fall away. So if you will notice, I am not yet giving the response of Peter from the warnings given by the Lord Jesus Christ. We will go to those responses very quickly in a while. So that's the second warning. So by the way, when the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned the section in verse 31, I will strike the shepherd of the sheep of the flock, and the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. It was actually a quotation from the book of Zechariah. So the Lord was already saying, the prophecy given in Zechariah will now be fulfilled tonight. And I'm sure the Lord mentioned that to the disciples because they were aware of that prophecy. The Lord will not say that to them if they were not familiar with that prophecy. But because the Lord was warning them, particularly Peter, he reminded them of that prophecy. That prophecy in Zechariah will happen tonight. Third warning, we can see it in Matthew 6:34. Matthew 6:34, third warning. And this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And this warning was specifically given already to Peter. And once again, if you will read and understand the verse very carefully, the details are there. And the details are very alarming. This very night, not tomorrow, not next week, this very night. So like the second warning, the emphasis of the Lord was given to the time. This night, this very night. And the Lord Jesus Christ even described when it will happen, before the rooster crows. And when we hear that phrase, before the rooster crows, what would that mean? Before the morning breaks. Before the morning breaks. So the Lord Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, believe me. Before the morning breaks, you will deny me. You will disown me. Not only once, but three times. The Lord was so deliberate with the details. And yet, Peter was not catching the details of the warnings. Maybe there were so many things running in the mind of Peter. And we will see those things later as we see his responses to these warnings. Fourth warning. The fourth warning was given when the Lord was already praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. So if you will remember the account there. So he invited them to join him in Mount Olives. From the upper room after dinner, after they sang the hymn. So they proceeded to Mount Olives. And first, he asked the other disciples. So there were only 11 left because Judas already did not join them. So out of the 11, 8 were left in a farther section of where the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Then he specifically asked, Peter, James, and John, come with me. Then after reaching a certain place, he now asked them, sit here, be alert, watch, because I'll just proceed in that area and pray to the Father. So he prayed. He prayed to the Father. And when he prayed to the Father for the first time, he went back to check on the three. Peter, James, and John. But upon seeing them, the Lord Jesus saw all of them sleeping. So he woke them and said this to them, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Like the first three warnings, the Lord Jesus was again very deliberate in giving this warning, particularly to Peter. Though Peter was with James and John during this time, again, what did Jesus say to them? What did Jesus say to Peter? Watch and pray. Watch, meaning be awake, be vigilant, be alert. Tingnan niyo kung tulog yung katabi niyo. The verses, be awake, be vigilant, be alert. But Jesus did not just say to them, stay awake, please. No. He continued with another command. Watch and pray. So the Lord was saying, please don't sleep. Don't you remember the three warnings that I have already mentioned earlier? Be vigilant, be awake, be alert, watch, and pray. Be in communion with the Father. Be in connection with the Father. Stay connected with God. Jesus here was already saying, God is your only hope. He will be the source of your strength. He will be the source of your conviction regarding whatever temptation will come to you. And we will see the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The reason there was very clear. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And if we will examine our lives, go back to the times that you have fell into sin. Go back to the times that you have given in to all those temptations. Isn't it those were the times that we were not awake? Those were the times that we were not vigilant. Those were the times that we were not alert. Those were the times that we were not watchful with our walk, with our communion, with our relationship with God. Those were the times that we have prayed less. Worst, those were the times that we were prayerless. That's why this narrative is being given to us to warn us as well. That's the fourth warning. But despite all these warnings, we will now go on how Peter responded to the Lord. And let's look at the self-confidence of Peter. From all those warnings given by the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter responded with self-confidence. With self-confidence. And the first self-confidence of Peter can be seen in Luke 22:33. And this was done by Peter to answer the first warning. The first warning given by the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember the first warning? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might see if you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So as an answer to that warning, Peter now says, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. The Lord warned him, Satan demanded to have you. You will go through this trial, but I have prayed for you. I forgot to mention in the last part of the warning, it is a very clear statement of the Lord that Peter will fail. Because the Lord mentioned to Peter, and when you have turned again, isn't it that statement is a very clear indication that the Lord already saw that Peter will fail. But when you have turned again, you will strengthen your brothers. And yet, Peter so arrogantly answered our Lord, Lord, I am ready to go with you anywhere. Through thick and thin, I will be with you, both to prison and to death. Look at the confidence of Peter. I am ready to go with you, Lord, both to prison and to death. But his arrogance did not stop there. We will see the second confidence of Peter in Matthew 26:33. And this time, this is his answer in the second warning. So remember the second warning? The Lord Jesus telling all the disciples, you will all fall away tonight because of me. But Peter, so confident, so arrogant, answers the Lord. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Look at that confidence of Peter. In front of everybody, in front of all the disciples, kulang na lang ituro niya siguro, even though all of you will fall, I will never, never, I will never, never fall. What is again the context of the one giving the warning? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. The God who is all-knowing. The God of perfect wisdom, who knows our hearts. And the disciples know that. They've been with Christ throughout those 3 years of ministry of our Lord Jesus. And yet, Peter was saying here, well, Lord, you don't know me. You are saying all of us will fall? Not me, not me. Don't count me in that warning. In other words, Peter here was downplaying the deity of the Lord. He was saying, Lord, you don't know my heart. You don't know me well. So you think you know me? That I will fall? That I will forsake you? That I will leave you? No way. No way. I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And even if all of them will fall away on account of you. So Peter was even so arrogant. They will fall away in account of you, but I will not fall away. He was downplaying the deity of the Lord Jesus. Third confidence. We see this in Matthew 26:35. And this is now an answer to the third warning. The third warning, let's just recall the third warning. So this was already the warning that the Lord Jesus was telling Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And again, Peter arrogantly answered the Lord Jesus Christ, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. So he was really answering directly the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. But the Lord warned him this very night, just a few hours from now, Peter, you will deny me not only once, not only twice, you will deny me three times. But Peter so arrogantly says, no, Lord, no, I will never disown you. Kung Pilipino siguro si Peter, itaga mo sa bato. I will not disown you. I will not deny you. That's how confident Peter was. What else? Fourth. The fourth confidence of Peter. So the fourth confidence of Peter is now an answer to the fourth warning. So for the fourth warning, this was already in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Jesus was already warning Peter, a disaster is about to come to you. But you have to watch and pray. You have to watch and pray so that you will not fall into that temptation. But Peter gave this confidence. What do we see in Matthew 26, 36 to 39? But when the Lord came to them, he found them sleeping. And he said, Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? So Peter here was saying nothing. But he fell asleep. And you know what? That sleep tells something about Peter. And that sleep is what we call the sleep of confidence. The sleep of confidence. Why the sleep of confidence? What's the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ? Watch and pray. Be alert, be awake, be vigilant, and pray. But what did Peter do? I know they were tired during that night. It was a long day. They slept. They slept. They did not take the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ seriously, that a disaster is about to come. Therefore, they need to be connected with the source of strength. They have to pray. They have to be awake. They have to be vigilant. But they gave the sleep of confidence. Though there were only four warnings, I have listed here five confidence of Peter. And the fifth one, we will see this in John 18, verse 10. John 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, please disregard the 22:33. I forgot to remove that. So in John 18:10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cut off his ear. Okay. When did this happen? So this happened when the Lord was already arrested. So when the Lord was already arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. So the scribes, the leaders were there. The group was already there. Judas was already there. But Peter, standing right before the Lord Jesus Christ, drew his sword and cut off the ear of one servant, and that servant's name was Malchus. So why was that a sign of Peter's confidence? Because during that time, he wanted to prove to his Lord his courage. Because he was coming from the statements that I will never leave you. I will be with you whether in prison or in death. And he knows the danger if he will be doing that to Malchus. But still he did it. Because he wanted to prove his Lord, I am courageous. And during the time, Peter was thinking, I'll do this because I know I will be faithful to you, Lord. Remember what I have said to you earlier, I will never leave you. I will always be with you no matter what happens to you. I can face danger for you. That's why Peter did that. But at that very moment, Peter was foolishly confident. He was foolishly confident. Peter forgot Proverbs 16:18 that says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. He also forgot 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. So you will notice up to this point, Peter is so hard-headed. He is ignoring all the warnings. And even the event that already came, Jesus was already arrested. He did not yet see that as the warning. And isn't it that when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, let's go back to Matthew 26:35. Matthew 26:35 says, so when he answered, Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Then after that, when Jesus was arrested, what was the last line in verse 35? All the disciples said the same thing. So in other words, they saw the leadership of Peter. So when Peter said, I will not leave you, Lord, so even the rest said that to them. But if we will jump to verse 56 of Matthew 26, go to verse 56. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And look at the last line of verse 56. Then all the disciples left him and fled. And all the disciples left him and fled. So one of the warnings was already violated. They all left. And the Lord Jesus warned that to all of them. Tonight, all of you will fall away because of me. Peter answered, no, Lord, I will not leave you. But because he is the leader of the disciples, the rest said, no, we will not leave you, Lord. But verse 56 clearly tells us that when Christ was already arrested, then all the disciples left him and fled. They might have fled in different directions, we don't know. But one thing for certain, all of them fled. So we see there the warnings. We see there the confidence of Peter. Now let's go to the time that Peter denied Christ. And we know that Peter denied the Lord three times. First denial. So the first denial of Peter can be seen in all the Gospels. You can see it in Matthew 26:69-70, Mark 14:66-68, Luke 22:54-57, and John 18:15-17. But I would like us to go to John 18:15-17. John 18:15-17. Let's read that so that we will see what's happening during that time. And in that passage, 18:15-17, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Okay, so what happened? Jesus was arrested. Now he was brought to the courts of the high priests. So when that happened, all the disciples fled. But maybe when they fled, Peter had that feeling in his heart that he had to go back. So Simon Peter went back. He followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. So the name of the second disciple was not mentioned, but it is accepted that it was John. The Gospel of John was written by John, but every time his character is seen in his gospel, he never mentions his name. And even in that account, he did not mention his name, but that was John. Since the disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest. So what happened in verse 15? John was able to go inside the court where Jesus was being tried. Madaling araw po ito nangyayari. So John was able to come in because he was known to the high priest. But look at verse 16. But Peter stood outside the door. So Peter was not able to get inside because he is not part of the entourage. He was not known by the high priest. So he was left behind. He was left behind. But what did John do? So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. Oh, there you see what John did. He fetched Peter so that Peter can also come in. So pag titingnan natin yung verse na yon, kasalanan din pala ni John. Bakit nag-deny si Peter eh? Kung hindi niya sana sinundo. Di ba? Sinundo niya pa eh. Nasa labas na ng court si Peter. Peter was just outside. But John fetched him. So Peter was able to go in. And it was a servant girl that was watching the door, and it was the servant girl that opened the door. Okay? So maybe that servant girl knew also John. That's why when John told the servant girl, let's allow this guy to come in. So the servant girl allowed Peter to come in. And when Peter went in, so that was a cold evening. So if you will see the narrative, in the last part of that section, in verse 18, now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. So imagine the situation. Wala pang kuryente noon, so that was a dark night. So they were just having that fire maybe in one corner of the courtyard. So all of them were standing around the fire because it was cold. And because of that fire, that servant girl saw the face of Peter. So because of the light coming from the fire, the servant girl saw Peter. And she was staring at Peter, actually. And she was trying to figure out, I think I know this guy. That's why in verse 17. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, you also are not one of this man's disciples, are you? And Peter said, I am not. So that's the first denial of Peter. So the first denial of Peter was a surprise for Peter. He was not expecting that. And besides, it was a servant girl. But by the sovereignty of God, he used that servant girl to expose the heart of Peter. Because in fact, during that moment, that servant girl was not a threat to Peter. He was not a threat to Peter. And Peter was away from the Lord Jesus Christ. So while the Lord Jesus Christ was being tried, Peter was at a distance, joining the people, trying to keep warm. And this servant girl saw him. I think you're one of them. No, I'm not. Maybe that question came in surprise for him. So by the way, during the time, the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ was tried, in that morning, he was brought to Annas. So there are two locations where he was brought, to Annas and Caiaphas, but they were just adjacent houses. Okay? So Annas was the former high priest, as you will see in the previous section. But that's the first denial. Now, let's go to the second denial of Peter. So the second denial of Peter, we will find this in Matthew 26, 71 to 72. Matthew 26, 71 to 72, or in Mark 14, 16 to 78, or Luke 22, 58, or in John 18:25. Maybe we can use John 18:25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You are also not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." In the previous verses, you will find that after the first denial of Peter, he left that place. Maybe he was thinking, if I will not leave this group, the others might recognize me. So I better leave this group. He left that place and he went to the porch. So this time, Peter was now in the porch, or in the Gospel of Matthew, he used Peter now was in the gateway. So this was actually a hallway type leading to the door or to the exit of the place. But another servant girl saw Peter. But I would like us to read Matthew 26 because there's an important detail that we will see in Matthew 26, 71 to 72. So pasensya na po kayo kung marami tayong verses na tinitingnan because there are four Gospels being used in this account. So in Matthew 26, 71 to 72, "And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystander, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied it with an oath." That phrase "with an oath" is very important because this means the second denial of Peter is no longer by surprise. This was already a premeditated denial of Peter because this was already with an oath. So when he was confronted, "Isn't it you are one of them?" he now swears, "No, I swear, mamatay man yung kapitbahay ko, I am not one of them." So he now gives an oath. And by the way, that instance of the second denial is not right after the first denial. The trial of the Lord Jesus Christ took 2 hours. So as the Lord Jesus Christ was being tried for those 2 hours, it was also during those 2 hours that Peter was denying Christ. So hindi po magkakasunod na interval of 1 minute, 2 minutes yung denial. So it was between the 2 hours. So meaning, if after the first denial, the second denial happened after a few minutes or maybe an hour after the first denial, Peter would have thought already of the first denial. But if you will imagine the situation of Peter, he really ignored the warnings of the Lord. During his first denial, that should have already brought him into his senses. "Oh no, I have already disowned my Lord. And he has said this earlier that tonight I will deny him. I have already denied him once." And yet, he was protecting himself. And still, Peter did not go out. Maybe he wanted to still see what will happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. How will the trial go? But he was so far from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in one of the warnings, the Lord Jesus Christ told them, "Watch and pray." Isn't it that the last portion there, I did not explain that earlier. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ said that to them, the flesh is willing, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, that is referring to the situation now of Peter. His spirit was willing to protect Christ, but his flesh was weak. He was afraid of what might happen to him if he would stand beside the Lord Jesus Christ. But if Peter was also true with his confidence earlier, "Lord, I will be with you in prison or even in death," Peter would have joined the Lord Jesus Christ in front, being tried. And that denial would not have happened if Peter was bold enough to fulfill what he said to his Lord, that I will never leave you. In any circumstance, I will never leave you. But the Lord knew the heart of Peter. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit of Peter was willing to be with Christ, but his flesh was so weak. He was afraid of his life. So that was the second denial. And again, the second denial was asked by a servant girl. Once again, it is not a threat. But it was already a premeditated denial because there was already time to contemplate from the first denial to the second denial. And Peter was already given an oath. I swear, I am not one of them. But Peter did not learn from the two denials. He still went on and had the third denial. So this time, for the third denial, let's look at John 18. Let's go back to John 18, because in John 18, we will see there another detail very important in that denial. 18:26-27. 18:26-27. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. So, a relative of Malchus. So this time, a relative of Malchus saw him in the garden, or saw him in that location. And this relative of Malchus now says, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And of course, this witness must be certain. Why? Relative niya yung naging biktima eh. Maybe this relative of Malchus did not notice the other disciples. But definitely, he noticed Peter. Why? Because Peter did something to Malchus. So he was certain. You were the one. You were the one. Also, in the other passages, in the other parallel passages, we will find that the other witnesses also said, you belong to them. Maybe we can look at one of them. Matthew 26, let's jump again to Matthew 26, 73-75. Hilo na ba kayo sa verses? After a little while, the bystanders came up to Peter and said, "Certainly you are one of them, for your accent betrays you." So, di ba sabi dun sa Mark, "You are a Galilean." So, how did they know that Peter is a Galilean? In Matthew, it clearly says there, because of his accent. So, it was already very clear that Peter was one of them. But how did Peter answer? How did Peter answer? Let's go back to John 18. Peter again denied it. And Peter again denied it. That's how it said in Matthew, in John. In Matthew, then he invoked and he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man," and immediately the rooster crowed. So, during the second denial, Peter just gave an oath. But here, it was now a repeated swearing and giving an oath and giving a curse to himself that he does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, if you will look at how Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, the denials escalated from one level to another level. Lumala po ng lumala. If only Peter knew that during the first denial, "Oh no, I have denied the Lord," he could have saved himself from that situation. But Peter was so arrogant. But Peter was so arrogant. Okay? But before that third denial ended, let's go to Luke 22:61. What happened there? Another parallel passage. Luke 22:61. And what do we read there? Luke 22:61. Balikan natin yung 60. And Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." This is during the third denial. "And immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." So what was the situation for Jesus during that time? So the trial was almost to an end. So he was already beaten. People spat at him, as you will see in the previous verses. And he was tied. Maybe he was about to be brought out already. So that was already about the break of the morning. So ganun po kahaba yung trial nung madaling araw na yon. So maybe they were already escorting the Lord Jesus Christ out, and Peter made the third denial. And at a distance, the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Peter after denying him the third time. And if you will just imagine how the Lord looked at Peter, and if you are Peter, I don't know how you will react. And that was the only time Peter remembered everything that the Lord Jesus said to him, that he will deny the Lord Jesus 3 times before the rooster crows. Despite all the warnings of the Lord, the sovereign God, Peter responded in self-confidence. And that ruined his life. That ruined his life. But what did he do in the last part? And he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. In other words, Peter now was brought to repentance. He now knew the sin that he had done before his Lord, that he denied his Lord 3 times. And if you will imagine all the things that transpired during that night, he did not only deny his Christ through the 3 denials. Remember, even the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, he already denied it. So that was what happened to Peter. So let's now go to the conclusion. So for the passage that we have read, the passage that we have studied this morning, we have what we call its theological context. And the first here is, God has decreed everything. This attribute of the Lord has ministered to me so much for the past months, that God has decreed everything. Even before time, God has already foreordained what happened during that evening. The Lord knew even before time that Adam and Eve will choose to sin. God could have destroyed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, created a new earth, but God chose to showcase his redemption to mankind. That's why he has decreed everything. Even during the time that Peter denied Christ, God has so foreordained this. Because the Lord wanted that the prophecy will be fulfilled. Because God wanted that the redemption that he will be giving you and me will be fulfilled the following day of that Last Supper. So God has decreed everything because God wanted his grace to be magnified through the redemption that we have received through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the very sins, because of the very denials of Peter, kaya po nagpapakos ang Panginoong Hesukristo that same morning or that same day. Another one for the theological context is, we will see here the depravity of man. Peter being exposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years, almost 3 years. He has witnessed how the Lord Jesus Christ performed miracles, how the Lord Jesus Christ shared the truth, how the Lord Jesus Christ made his ministry here on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ warned him several times, and yet Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Peter sinned before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how depraved we are. Let us not think that we are invincible. What is born again in us is our spirit, but the flesh is not yet born again. We still live here on earth. We will still sin. So we must not be overconfident with us. There will be weakest points in our lives. But remember this, in our weakest, run to God. In our weakest, we must run to God. Also, in the weakest of others, do not judge them. I remember Pastor Robbie saying this also when he was discussing the answer regarding the case of Alistair. So when we are in our weakest, run to God. And when others are in their weakest, do not judge them. Second part of the conclusion, what the Lord Jesus used to warn them, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be sober. Be alert. Be vigilant. Stay connected with the Lord. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's why we must always be alert. Because our enemy does not know how to say time out. He is always there, ready to devour his enemies. James 1:19 also tells us, my brethren, my brothers, my sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. So some of you might think, isn't it, that the context of this is regarding anger? But if you will read the entire passage, the context of that is still applying how we will listen to our God. So what happened to Peter? He was so quick to speak. He was not listening to the warnings of our Lord. He did not take heed of the warnings. But he was so arrogant. He was so arrogant in terms of his self-confidence is so high. Psalm 119:11 also tells us, Lord, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So you want to be victorious over temptation? Watch and pray. Stay connected with the source. Put his word in your heart that you might not sin against him. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ taught us this prayer in Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So I think if there is one very important takeaway that we will have this morning, it is this warning. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Because in reality, all of us are denying the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our lives. When do we deny the Lord Jesus Christ? When we choose to sin. When we choose to sin against Him, we are denying Him. Because we are denying His Lordship. We are denying His deity. We are saying we are better than Him like Peter did. But if you want not to fall into temptation, watch and pray. And third, self-confidence will kill you. It may not kill you physically, but it will kill you spiritually. The world may be promoting this. The world will be promoting self-esteem, self-confidence. But the Bible tells us, walk with all humility and gentleness. Ephesians 4:2. The Bible also tells us, clothe yourselves with humility. Colossians 3:12 and 1 Peter 5:5. James 4:6 also tells us, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. The world standard is really different, but that is not our standard. Our standard is the standard of the Lord. Walk with all humility and gentleness. Clothe yourselves with humility, because self-confidence will kill you. And remember, don't trust your heart. Don't trust yourself, because the heart is deceitful above all else. Do not also rely on your own strength, because we will fail. We will fail. And finally, repent. Let's thank the Lord for 1 John 1:9, a very familiar passage for all of us, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter repented. He went out and wept bitterly. He broke down and wept. He went out and wept bitterly. And what is the proof that Peter repented? When Christ rose from the dead, Peter came back to the upper room. He saw Jesus. He witnessed Jesus in the upper room. And if we will remember also in that account, the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And what did Peter say? Said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep." How many times did the Lord Jesus ask Peter? He asked him 3 times also. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then tend my sheep." "Peter, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then tend my sheep." The Lord gave Peter the chance to repent from the 3 times that he denied him, by also declaring that Peter loves the Lord 3 times. Also, we will see that Peter wrote 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter alone, the first verse already gave how powerful his writing was. Introduction pa lang, it was already the elements of the gospel. In 1 Peter 1, 6-9, we will see there that Peter was sharing about trials, that he was saying that trials will test your faith. So I'm sure that when Peter wrote 1 Peter, he was thinking of what happened there. And also, what as I was mentioning in the introduction, in Acts chapter 2, we will see there that Peter was so powerful already in his preaching, that in Acts 2, we will see there, in his preaching, 3,000 souls were converted. So praise God for this narrative that we have once again studied this morning. I know this is not new to us, but I hope that how I have shared the narrative gave us a fresh perspective of our self-confidence before God. So let's take heed of all the warnings that the Lord has given us. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So before we close, may I ask you to find a partner again and let's share whatever we have learned from this narrative that we have looked at this morning.
four measures ng keyboard na then pagpasok ko.
Make sure you give time to your partner to share also. And after your sharing, pray together. You must be praying by this time. So if you are not yet praying, bring those sharing to a close and then pray together already. If you are done praying, please return to your seats. So I may see kung sino pa yung hindi po tapos. By this time, you must be praying already. Let us rise. May I request everybody to stand up, please? Let's close in prayer. Our dear God, we thank you for this week we commemorate your passions on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives. Indeed, Lord, that's your grace. We cannot boast of anything. Who are we for you to choose to be saved, Lord? We are sinners. We are rebels. We are arrogant. We are self-confident. And yet, Lord, you have died on the cross to pay for those very sins that we have committed and we are still committing. Thank you for your great love for us. Lord, burn this message in our hearts. Help us to watch and pray that we might not fall into temptation. If there is one thing that we can take home, Lord, from this teaching, let it be that warning that you have given to Peter to watch and pray so that we might not fall into temptation. For this life that we have is a battle. We cannot say time out. We cannot put our guards down. We must be sober. We must be alert. For the enemy is like a roaring lion ready to devour us. But you are our God. You are our confidence. You are our victory. You are our strength. Thank you, Father, for this message. And Lord, as we spend this Holy Week, may we spend this in worship. May we meditate on how you have shown us your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Father, today, as you also give of our tithes and offering, we pray that may our giving come from joyful hearts. May our giving be a form of worship. You know the needs of this church. You know the needs of this ministry. We pray, Lord, that you will multiply the offerings that will be given today so that your work will be magnified in and through this church. Thank you, Father. I pray now for every heart that you have brought in this place today. I pray blessing to be upon them. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning po sa ating lahat. On your way out, please get a copy of The Light. Thank you.